Today's show is all about AI flock cameras, a woman that went to jail for 2 weeks for something that she didn't do. Man, it's only getting more fun, so stick around. Hello and welcome to episode number 372 of the Random Thoughts podcast. That is spelled R-A-N-D-U-M-B, thoughts.com online. I am your host, Darren O'Neill. Almost a week since the last show. Yeah, we're trying to keep on a schedule now. I mean, it's only been 372 shows. That's nothing. I mean, I guess since a majority of podcasts don't make it past episode 3, I think it is, this one is definitely overachieving, and there is always something insane going on in the world, and a lot of it lately has to do with technology, surveillance, AI, and today no different. This first story, though, should terrify everybody in all sorts of different ways because it kind of combines everything and shows what happens when law enforcement decides to take the easy way out. There always has to be humans involved now. And if you start assuming that the machines are giving you the right answer, like with AI, they tell you, AIs can make mistakes. Always double check the work before using it for any kind of mission critical things. You don't want to take what an AI spits out and assume that it's going to be accurate, to assume it's going to work. It's great for certain things. It can find patterns. It can do basic computer coding. My buddy Gene, that I do the Unrelenting show with, was making a add-on or mod for one of the games that he likes, but it was an API that was in German or something. So using the AI, he said, was helpful, but it still, like anything else, required human intervention to get rid of the bugs and make things work. So AI is a tool that can get you sometimes 100% of the way there, but more likely, it's just going to get you close, and then you're going to need somebody with actual skills to get you over the finish line. Now, this is a story out of Florida. Yeah, free Florida, where things are all supposed to work. No, sometimes not, because you have dumb people in Florida, too. It's a story of a woman named Lindsay Brooke Isaacs. She is 23 years old. And she was jailed for 13 days, including like a week in solitary, is how they started her out, for a car accident that she was not involved in. Yeah, I'm going to give you the spoilers right up front. The woman was not involved with an accident, but the police department, the Florida Highway Patrol, using flock cameras, they got lazy. This incident occurred October 4th of last year, 2025. It was a deadly crash on I-4 near DeBary, Florida. Three people died. A motorcyclist named Joaquin Dino, a Flagler County Deputy Administrator Jorge Salinas and his wife Nancy Salinas, and witnesses said that they saw a Dodge Durango that was involved, and Ms. Isaacs does drive a Dodge Durango. Now, a flock camera, when they went to do the investigation on this, along with the automated license plate reader on the flock camera, they captured her Durango, which is black, going eastbound near the Seminole Volusia line at 9:51 p.m. Now, this was 3 miles west of the crash, which happened 2 minutes later at 9:53 p.m. So understand, this wasn't like, oh, we had video of this crash, which was between the Durango, a motorcycle, and another car. This wasn't that they had video of the incident, but they had cameras along the lines, and they're looking for, because somebody said maroon Durango. Well, you know, that turned into black Durango really easily when a law enforcement officer is not doing their job, is not taking everything into account, and understanding that somebody being in the general area should not be considered evidence that they did something. The car damage for her car, the Durango, was nothing because she wasn't involved. That doesn't really matter. The police just decided that it was a Durango. It was in the area. People reported a Durango. Even though they had a 911 caller, again, that reported that the Durango was in fact a maroon vehicle, not a black vehicle. The person that called 911 gave a partial plate, which did not match this woman's plate. They just decided that it was a lot easier because a flock camera showed a Durango in the area, and it didn't see any other Durango. I guess that maroon one didn't make it to the camera. That they decided this woman must be guilty. She was arrested on April 17th, 7 months later. She was charged with 8 different felonies. 3 for vehicular homicide, 3 for leaving the scene of a crash involving a death, leaving the scene involving serious injury, reckless driving causing serious injury, all things that are not very good if you didn't do them. As I said, she spent 13 days in jail. The first 7 were in solitary because the charges were so serious. So that's April 17th. On May 22nd, just about a month later, the Florida state's attorney declined to prosecute all 8 counts after a specialized Florida Highway Patrol team and prosecutors re-examined the case. Another suspect was arrested, Elisa Lee Montalavo, who actually was driving a maroon Dodge Durango. The Florida Highway Patrol head apologize to the original woman in person. Well, I would hope so. Isaac said that lasting mental, physical, emotional damage. Yeah, I can imagine spending 2 weeks in prison for something that you didn't do, including a week in solitary. She's filed a federal civil rights lawsuit against the 2 troopers for false arrest, wrongful imprisonment, malicious prosecution. And I'm sure that will be an interesting court case. She said she doesn't blame the cameras, and she's correct in that. I mean, if the cameras weren't there, this wouldn't have happened to her. But with that said, nothing that the cameras caught would have a rational human being jumping to the conclusion that she was guilty of what they said she was guilty of. The cameras are just pulling in data. The cameras just saw her driving down an expressway. But you see now, for everybody out there, and there are a lot of you, maybe not in this audience, but there's a lot of people out there who are under the assumption of, hey, if I'm not doing anything wrong, why do I care if the cameras are out there? They're going to catch the bad people and I'm going to be safer. It doesn't seem to be the case. Ask Lindsay Brooke Isaacs how much safer she feels after she spent nearly 2 weeks imprisoned because of something she didn't do, only because a Flock camera tagged her on the same expressway in the general vicinity and nothing more. It's amazing to me that it got that far, knowing there was a 911 call now, knowing that the person that reported it said that it was a maroon Dodge Durango. In one of the other vehicles that was a part of this accident, they did pull maroon paint off of. The woman's car they put in jail was black. So I don't understand, again, how it got that far, because the evidence itself, this again, she wasn't arrested for until 7 months after this incident. So this means that the law enforcement in Florida, at the Florida Highway Patrol, was so incompetent that even 7 months later, even with a 911 call, we're assuming the 911 call was from a human being and not an AI, though we don't really know anymore. Because I bet you Elon's vehicles, which have cameras all over them, could probably make a phone call with a slight patch added to it. Because doing the text-to-speech thing, having a voice for a computer now, not hard to do it all. It's being done all over the place. But we're assuming that the 911 call was made by a human being who said, maroon vehicle, gave a partial license plate, neither of which matched the woman they arrested and threw in jail for 2 weeks until they realized they had made a mistake. And again, this was 7 months after. This wasn't a knee-jerk reaction, throw her in jail and then realize they investigated for 7 months and decided she must be the one until why, Florida? Why? This is one thing it wasn't really explained very well. Why was it that far down the line that a specialized Florida Highway Patrol team and other prosecutors re-examined the case and went, this doesn't quite fit. Does not quite fit. The Flock company, of course, said, hey, our cameras only give leads, which is true. They don't identify perpetrators or decide arrests, also true. The company also said that the hit was actually exculpatory, placed her 3 miles away 2 minutes before the crash, calling the arrest a Flock result, misrepresented the technology. So Flock's like, hey, don't blame us for you guys getting it wrong. But this again is where the question comes down to, do you want that data or not? Can the data from these cameras do some good? Sure. Is there an even larger danger, perhaps, that people who had nothing to do with crimes are going to get caught up in them? And again, you feel like, wow, there's so many cameras. I've got so much data. My phone's on me all the time. People can track me. They're going to know it wasn't me. That doesn't seem to be the case. So this extra data, when being used in this way, meaning that we don't have video of the actual accident. If you did, completely different thing. But this is a fishing expedition more than anything else. And this is not unique to this situation. If you watch any of these police procedurals, you've probably seen this in the last 10, 20 years where they have access to all of the cameras in a city like Chicago or New York. And they're like, okay, this happened here and people reported a white Bronco. How you doing, OJ? And then they look at all the traffic cameras within 3 miles looking for white Broncos. And, oh, there's one. Do you know it's the correct white Bronco? No, you don't. But it's a lead. And that's when people have to use their intelligence, if they have any, to track the lead down and go and see if that was, in fact, the vehicle that was involved or not. In this case, they didn't do it. They looked at a camera feed, didn't have any better evidence. So they decided that the camera feed would have to be good enough. Even though the woman's car, wrong color, and it's not just a wrong color, again, based upon the 911 call, which existed, but also based on the fact that there was paint left due to the accident on one of the other vehicles, which did not match her car, which also did not have any damage. How did it get this far? How do you show up at somebody's house and look at their vehicle and go, yeah, no damage at all here, but it was definitely involved in an accident? It does not make any sense. It is interesting, though, that the woman doesn't blame Flock. She blames the Florida Highway Patrol, first and foremost, which is logically correct. But once you realize that without the camera, she would have never gotten swept up in this, that's where the conversation comes from. Are the cameras doing more good than harm? There have been plenty of stories on these Flock cameras where people are using them for things that are less than above board. Stories of police officers who are basically stalking their girlfriends or their exes or boyfriends, whatever it was. This puts a lot of data into the universe that I'm not sure makes the universe a better place. Oh, it's great for things like stolen cars. It's great for certain things. But Benjamin Franklin was the one that said, how much security you give up your liberty. I'm going to be butchering that line. Anybody that is willing to give up their privacy for some security really deserves neither. And I know that's not the correct quote, but you know which one I'm talking about. So while these devices, the Flock cameras and other things, they can be really useful if you have a missing child, as I said, stolen car. If you have an Alzheimer's patient just walking down the street, great, you can see them, you can find them quicker. But there is a huge risk when law enforcement is taking a video frame or a snippet of video along with a timestamp on it as proof of something happened that never happened. It has to just be a partial tool. You cannot, like with AI, you cannot put your faith in what you're getting from these devices. And this is the problem that human beings are becoming less and less able to have critical thinking. They're less able to look at a situation and understand what's going on. And I'm thinking this is partially because of the internet, and I'm thinking AI is going to accelerate that. Even though I love AI, it can do a lot of fun things. It can help me create music from things. I can just hum a melody and it'll sound like a full band. That is cool. But it's become way too easy to just go to AIs for an answer. Like, hey, how do I fix this? Well, you just do this. Okay. It was probably a little better if you had to do some research, understand what's going on rather than just following steps that an AI gives you, which may or may not work. But being under the constant surveillance thing, that's not going away anytime soon. I mean, we need the big electrical pulse. We need something that would just take out the internet as an entirety, and then we could all be a lot better off. But I don't see that happening anytime soon. There was a story I had a clip over on Planet Rage that my buddy Larry Blydner and I from That Larry Show. There's a brand new That Larry Show as well, thatlarryshow.com. But we did a Planet Rage yesterday, planetrage.show, where we had a clip of an influencer who was maybe 30s, blonde, female, who was going off on the fact that she posted a video of herself singing with her child in her car. Why this is entertainment, I don't know. But it was the typical camera up front. You could see the mother in the driver's seat. And then, of course, the kid's seat in the back was exactly where you could see. I mean, it was perfectly framed. And they're singing along, and she puts the video out there. And then all of a sudden, she gets mad that when she goes to look at the video, as anybody knows that's ever gone to do a search on Google, there is an autofill in. And that's the same for a lot of things now. A lot of the AIs, a lot of the search engines, you go in and you start typing something and it finishes it based upon what the most people have put into that box. So the number one thing that the little box under her video was, who is the child in the back seat? And she's like, oh no, why would you even put that there? That's because more people than anything else typed in, who is the child in the backseat? That's why. It's nothing nefarious that the computer is doing. It's that you posted a video of your child. Most likely there's a lot of perverts online who are like, well, who's that kid? Maybe non-perverts too. Who's the kid? Why is the kid singing? Should I know the kid? You're the one that posted the video of the kid singing, lady, but then you're mad that people are doing a search. So she's like, I clicked that, and all of a sudden I got all of this information, and I was horrified that it gave all of my children's names. I was like, well, obviously at some point you posted all of your children's names, and you posted videos, and you posted images of all of your children with their names onto the internet. I've been harping about this almost since episode one of this show about 10 years ago, telling people that you have to be worried about the connections that were even possible then. Meaning you might be very careful about not posting photos of yourself online. But if your buddies are posting them on Facebook, does anybody have buddies posted on Facebook? If you do, you might want to talk to them. But it doesn't matter which of these social media sites. If your buddy posts a photo with you in it that is on X or on Facebook or on Instagram, or maybe it's a video on the TikTok and you're doing a crazy dance, you're leaving a footprint. And you're leaving a footprint that can now be followed by your likeness, not just you being tagged by another human being in the photo, because the technology is now there for these machines to determine your identity based upon just processing power and scanning through a bunch of different photos. And as AI gets better and better, this is going to get faster and faster. And it's interesting to me that somebody that's an influencer who is like, oh no, I'm telling everybody I know to remove my kids' pictures from their site because it'll find them. So yes, it will, but it's already too late. You've done the damage. It's like you can't become unpregnant. It's just not something that can, well, you can. If you're a liberal, it's really easy. You kill babies, you can do it until they're even 6 years old, I guess, now. But you cannot undo things that have been posted to the internet. The data is out there. You can't then hide it. You can try. I mean, you can remove what you can have access to, but it goes so much further than what's on your account. And she was somewhat horrified that all this information about her and her family were out there, including one of the questions was, where does the woman's name live? And she's like, I can't believe, why would you put that in there? Again, all the computer knows is what people are asking. So you should feel really good that one of the biggest questions people are asking is, where do you live? Why are they asking? Oh, I don't know. There's nobody crazy out in the world. Maybe these systems should use some keywords and not show the most popular result, but then who gets to decide what that is? But you have to understand how the internet works. The internet is a cesspool, and now it's a cesspool with AI, which gives people access to things like agents that can all day long do things. It can monitor your social media. It can then report back. This is the insane thing about all of this, from the flock cameras down to people that post all the time on whatever social media account that it is. You have to understand that data is now much easier to mine for somebody that wants to stalk you, somebody that wants to get information about you. It's very easy if you have multiple social media accounts, even though you might not make any connection between them, meaning you might not talk about one on the other, you might not link to the other ones from your social media, but it has become easier and easier for machines to do that. So if you want to keep up with what somebody's doing, you could just create an agent that's like, look at this person's social media every 10 minutes and let me know if anything changes. Email me or text me. And you might think you're safe, like, well, I'm not telling anybody where I live. I'm smart. Well, some of those really smart people didn't realize that there are GPS coordinates sent from your phone on a lot of these systems. And yes, you can turn that off. But a lot of people don't even know they exist. So that's one big thing. And the other thing is, if you are outside, it is scary what people can figure out from just the photos that you are posting outdoors. It could be any type of landmark. It could be just the look of the house that you are outside of. There are a few YouTube channels of guys that do this, and they might be cheating. Maybe they're using AI, because AI can definitely speed this up. But where people send in photos, quite often like vacation photos from their great grandparents or something like that, and they're like, hey, can you tell me where this photo was taken? And you would be amazed at how often the people that are good at this can figure that out strictly from a photograph. All of this information, again, because of things like Google Maps, where you can look at things in different ways and you can look at street views and you can try to really dial down. And on some of these, it takes some legwork, where the guy could tell on one that I watched, well, the architecture kind of looks like it was this place. And then they figured out, oh, yeah, I think it was. But then it took a few hours of kind of doing Google Maps, going up and down the streets, looking at the buildings, trying to match them. Again, this is where AI really comes in handy, because AI just works 24/7. And it can look to match that, and it probably will. So what is the answer at this point? I don't know if there is one. My answer a few years ago was, hey, do not post massive amounts of images of yourself online, because people will be able to use that, one, to find you, to understand what area that you live in. But it also makes it easier now to create an AI avatar that looks like you. Somebody can start creating videos and it'll look like you. If they have access to your voice at all, they can make it sound like you as well. Which is why I've been saying for years, you can't trust anything that you see or hear on the internet. And that is now seemingly accelerating day by day because of the things that these AIs are good at, including things that most people still don't understand they can do, like making phone calls. on your behalf. I read a story the other day about a guy who set up some AI bots to see what he could have it automate for his life. And it's easy if you're trying to get restaurant reservations, if they're on OpenTable or something like that, because these bots that the AIs can now spew, for lack of a better word, are able to use different apps. So you can show it how to use your favorite app to, you know, check the weather or buy tickets for your favorite sports team or whatever. It'll understand how to do that. So you don't have to worry about forgetting anything. You'll just have your bot. It can just automate everything. And this guy wanted reservations for a restaurant that I guess wasn't on one of these apps. So he gave it access to a voice over IP service, and the bot made the phone call. And when the guy answered in Portuguese or something like that, the bot just changed to talking in Portuguese to try to make a reservation. It's very interesting technology, but as humans, we're going to have to be very careful on how we let it, because it is, you let it affect your life. You let it do things for you that you should probably be doing yourself. And you, if you're of a certain mindset, and the kids today, I really feel sorry for them. Because back in our day, you know, if you had an imaginary friend, it was an imaginary friend. Now that friend has a voice. Now that friend is actually talking back to you. But that friend is all based on a large language model, which may be giving you responses that aren't really in your best interest. And you have to be aware of the effect this technology is having, along with social media as a whole. It all goes down to how many people you can really comprehend and be friends with. There was a Modern Rogue, Brian Brushwood YouTube channel, which talked about this recently, how different species you can handle up to knowing a certain amount. And for humans, it was like 120 or something. There's a number, there's a name for it. I forget what it is. You can look it up. But the concept was, you know, if you lived in a small town, yeah, you could pretty much know everybody. You know, in a medium-sized town, you don't know everybody. You know, you kind of know a decent amount of people, but it becomes a different thing because you don't personally know everybody. And then if you live in a metropolis, well, you know almost nobody. But social media has changed our world from trying to keep track of a handful of friends. When I was growing up, that's what you had. You had the kids in your class at school. It was maybe 20 or 30. You know, that was pretty much your world. Okay, you had cousins and other friends maybe outside of school, but there was not hundreds or thousands, which the minute you put kids on social media, what they are exposed to, your brain isn't really wired to handle knowing that many people, caring about that many people. And you have to understand that all of this stuff is not real. The person you're talking to is not a person if it's an AI. Does that make any sense? But people are relying on these things, and it is not going to go well. So we saw in the case of the Florida Highway Patrol throwing somebody in jail because they had video of a car, you know, somewhat in the area of a deadly crime scene, accident scene. And it was, you know, the car was close. I mean, it wasn't exactly as the human described, but, you know, humans get things wrong. And I mean, there was no damage, but I mean, that doesn't necessarily mean that it wasn't the car involved. Let's put this woman in jail. So be careful how much control you give to your computers, to your AIs. And if you're online like this influencer with her kids, I just thought that was funny because obviously she is absolutely clueless and didn't understand what she was doing by feeding the data beast. And that's what it is. The internet is now a data beast. AIs are data beasts. All they want to do is take your data and process it and try to use it against you in a way, usually to sell you something. Which is why the story just dropped about LG TVs and how they are collecting information about you. I don't think this is a surprise to anybody that they are capturing screen caps so they can tell what you're watching, even if you've got something plugged into your TV. So meaning you just plug in, for those of you who still have DVD or Blu-ray players, they can see what you're watching off of something like that. So you plug in an extra device like your Roku or something like that, it can see what you're watching on that. They have all of these remote controls, which I hate. The ones you can talk to, you can bet they are listening. And the amount of information that they hold and that they send back to the mothership, again, usually in order to sell you things and advertise to you in a more personalized manner, understand that these things will, if they haven't already been hacked, which means if your LG has a microphone so it can hear what's going on in the room, then somebody's eventually going to figure out, if they haven't already, how to access that microphone without you knowing. Lastly, there was a story about AI shopping carts, and this, again, just wanted to point out that Fox News sucks. Not entirely for the quality of the article, but the headline, AI shopping carts could drive up your grocery bill. And it talked about a study, I think it was in Germany, where they had some AI shopping carts, and they had like half and half in this store. And they, the people that use the AI shopping carts spent like 25, 30% more or something like that. But they had no proof that it was because of the cart. They're like, well, it's possible that the people who took those carts were just going to spend more when they walked in the door. It's possible the people that walked in the door and saw those carts, because they were going to buy a bunch of items, decided, hey, let me try the AI cart, which I think it's obvious to anybody paying attention that the AI carts are going to do a couple of things. One, they're going to advertise to you because there's a screen on these carts as you're walking down the aisle. If, you know, Coca-Cola paid the grocery chain money, when you turn down the aisle with the soft drinks, a little Coke logo is going to come up and say, hey, have a Coke and smile, or whatever it's going to say, but it's going to push Coca-Cola on you. I'd also be more worried that this is where the price changes are going to happen, depending upon, you know, if you're a loyalty member or just what data they have on you, because especially if you are a loyalty member, they got data on you. The price may end up going up or down based upon that. But I think the AI carts, let's just assume for a minute, really do cause people to spend more. It also said it caused them to spend more time in the store. Well, it makes sense because they're now playing with a gadget while they're doing their grocery shopping. Now, if somebody could walk into a grocery store and put their phone away and just go grab the 10 items that they need and get out, that's going to be quicker than somebody walking into a store, looking at their phone the whole time while they meander and try to find the 10 items that they were looking for. So putting a device in front of somebody that they are going to interact with, it doesn't surprise me that people spend more time in the store. And it also doesn't surprise me that they might spend more. But the question is, are they buying things that are helpful, that they actually need? Or are they being advertised to in a way for things that don't make any sense? Which means maybe you're going down the aisle and you buy three big boxes of cereal for your kids. And the thing's like, hey, do you need milk? And you're like, oh, whoa, I forgot. You're right. I'm buying a bunch of cereal. I should probably get some milk. Those kind of things could be helpful. Like, hey, I noticed that you bought three packs of hot dogs, but you didn't buy any hot dog buns. Did you possibly forget that? Those are things that I would find helpful, because those are the things I would do all the time when we were doing shopping the old-fashioned way, rather than the way I do it now, which is I open up a browser window, I click on everything that I want, And then my wife just goes and picks it up. They do all the shopping for you. For stores that do that, my goodness, I love it. I mean, they also get the opportunity to give you the ads and push you towards things online. I just think it saves so much money because you're not there at the, you know, walking down the aisle, buying things that you don't need. All of the impulse stuff, I think way better to do the shopping online. I could be wrong. Maybe you think differently. Darren at randomthoughts.com, R-A-N-D-U-M-B thoughts.com. Of course, Darren is D-A-R-R-E-N. But these shopping carts are interesting to me because I think this could actually be a good use for the AI. It just depends on the programming because there are certain places that are going to try to eke every last bit of money out of you while you're in the store. And there are others that might actually just be trying to be helpful. I had to have an AC guy out because I knew what the problem was, but I didn't want to do it. I didn't have, believe it or not, the wife's got a lot of different tools. Didn't have a PVC pipe cutter. And when the air conditioning was running, it was like 100 degrees here and humid, air conditioning running, leaking all over. And I could tell it didn't seem like there was a full flow going into the drain. So I knew 99% that it was the PVC pipe from the coils at the furnace there. Where at when it, if you may not know this, when the cooling happens, the coils cool down and then they drip because all the humidity and stuff, it all drips down and that water then goes down a PVC pipe in our house and gets to the drain. Was pretty sure the drain, that PVC was clogged up. And yeah, I could have bought like $20 worth of parts and replumbed the whole thing, but it would have taken me an afternoon. But I called the dude and they came out. And we've had service from them before, and I'm intrigued by anybody that can keep a 5-star rating on Google. And I know there are ways to play these things, but I call the dude out, and sure enough, he takes the PVC pipe cutter about a third of the way through the line. He cuts it, and all of a sudden, all this water comes flowing out, and he's like, yep, you definitely got a clog. Put a nitrogen tank on the other part of the pipe. He said it took 200 pounds of pressure and all of a sudden, boom, something flew out of the pipe and all of a sudden everything was draining correctly. And the grand total was a service call, which was $85 and I think $75 for the labor and the nitrogen. Again, I kind of knew what it was. Could I have fixed it less expensively? Sure. But it would have taken me a lot of time. Then I would have had to buy other tools. And really, I didn't want to meander around, again, using that word again today, while the water was all over the floor there by the blower. And of course, it likes dripping right by where the on-off switch for the furnace is. It was, you don't want to mix water with electricity. But the reality was they charged a fair price. I went online and said, hey, what should this cost in this area with the labor and everything else? And they were on the very low end of the range that they gave. So I believe that I got a fair price. Now, there are other people that would have come out and been like, well, I got to check this. Oh, got to do this. Oh, got to do this. Oh, yep. That's going to cost you $500. I guarantee you people had the same problem repaired for much more because the company wanted to eke every last little bit out of them. And I think grocery chains could do the same thing. Grocery chains could actually save you money by using AI in a way that is in your benefit. And they may figure that if they save you money, that will bring you in to their store to do all of your shopping. Because I don't know how it is in your area, but around here, I can think of quite a few different grocery stores within a 5 mile radius. There's a lot of them. There's like eight of them or so. It's crazy. We got grocery stores everywhere. So if they're looking for the business, they're not necessarily going to use the technology to screw you out of your money. They might actually be doing it to help you in the hope that you go and do most of your shopping, if not all, with them. So the bottom line is the technology itself is not evil, even with the flock cameras, but it can be used in a way that is detrimental to your life, and you need to be aware of what is going on with the technology, how it works, and the things you need to watch for so you don't become a victim. Of course, one of the things you can do is listen to the Random Thoughts podcast. This is a value for value proposition. I put them out there. They're not behind a paywall at all. You get to decide after listening, have you gotten any value out of the show whatsoever? Then you can put whatever number on it that means something to you. Was it a dollar's worth of value? Five, 10, 50, 100? It's all up to you. You can go over to Random Thoughts, randumthoughts.com/donate. There is a donate button, which is a PayPal one-time or monthly donation. There are QR codes and wallet addresses. If you want to do the crypto thing, there is a P.O. Box address. There is a Cash App address, which is $OzzyBall, OzzyBall. In the notes, please just put random or something like that so I know which show that it is for. And there is even a way to stream some Satoshis and send us some Lightning, at least for now. Not a lot of people using it, but we appreciate those that are. But if there's something that you want to donate via and we're not using it, let me know. There's always something new. There's always some way to do it. And I appreciate everybody for listening, and I appreciate the people who have donated to help us keep the lights on today. A very big thanks to Zadok Brown, who came in with $69.15 and said, keep the AI thoughts coming. Need you and Larry back with Adam as well. Great chemistry in that trio. And I agree with all of that, Zadok. We had a lot of fun with the Podfather, Adam Curry, over when we did the 6 episodes of No Agenda. What will happen in the future? I don't know. I never say never. We enjoyed the heck out of working with Adam, and he's the guy that created podcasting. So how could you not enjoy being around somebody that has that much information, that much charisma, building things to help podcasters? Still, he's the guy pushing this format forward more than anybody else. And yeah, keep the AI thoughts coming. Today's show kind of, with that in mind, when I sat down, I'm like, well, what's going on in AI? And then I saw the stories and I'm like, wow, can definitely do a complete AI show and not really make it feel like it's an AI show for people that are like, hey, I want to use AI. In this case, it was more of an AI show on what you need to be aware of, how you need to protect yourself, because AI is now out there and it's both good and at the same time, very bad. So thank you again, Zadok Brown. $69.15. You are quite generous. And we hope everybody listening could be as generous as you. Although Mark Kodra is damn near that and more, because he comes in with $5.55 every show. I guess since I went a little over a week again, there are two of them here. So that's 11.10. And he's dealing with a little bit of lung cancer, as is my mom. She had a biopsy. Her lung collapsed, which they tell you 1 in 4 people when they do the biopsy, the lung collapses. Lots of fun stuff, but they caught hers early and they caught Mark's early, and I'm hoping they both work out well. Cancer sucks, no doubt about it. Thoughts and prayers are with you. And I know people say that, but literally with you, Mark. We appreciate you. Weenie, I love this. I still love this name, and it still makes me laugh most of the time. Weenie Wawa came in with $5.65. That is monthly. Thank you very much. And Eric PP, the guy behind Helipad, he's one of the last lightning dudes out there. You should put a lightning bolt on your chest. That was that the Flash? It had to be, right? With the lightning bolt. Yeah, you could look good in Lycra, Eric PP. came in with 33 Satoshis, thanks to him. Weenie Wawa, Mark Kodra, and of course, Zadok Brown. And thanks to everybody else for listening to this episode number 372 of the Little Podcast That Could. I appreciate you. Let's people know about the show. If you like what you hear here, then tell your friends about the show. Post about it on social media. Leave a review on Apple Podcasts or whatever it is that you get your podcasts. It all helps us keep the show growing and keep the lights on and all that. It is all very much appreciated. And I do plan on being back with another show next week. So until then, I am Darren O'Neill. Thanks for listening.